Praise God. Praise God. Good to be here this morning. Amen. Good to be in His presence today. Let's get into the Word of the Lord this morning while we have the opportunity. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. And I would like to just let you know this morning, I probably should have, we'll do this again tonight, but Wednesday night, brother and sister Sora from Independence is going to be with us in service, and we're looking forward to that. Amen. So we want you all to be in prayer about that. And we are in the Christmas and the Thanksgiving season here, and Sister Glenda is spearheading our giveaway boxes for Christmas. So see her, and we're going to let her. Would you like to say something about that tonight, Sister Glenda? Okay, remind me about that, and we'll have you do that. And then we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and the week of Thanksgiving, we're going to have Tuesday night service so that you'll have time and spend time with family on Wednesday and Thursday. All right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's all coming so quick. Amen. It's happening so fast. We're already in the middle of November and getting ready for the last month of this year. And it's just like a breeze that just blowed through and it's gone almost. And what we do for the Lord, we've got to do it to now. We've got to do it now. Praise the Lord. I'm having a couple Biden moments here this morning. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. God help me today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all pray for me this morning. I want to talk about the yoke of blessings this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke, everybody said the yoke, that are under the yoke, count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Praise God. So I have a mandate here this morning from the Word of God to teach and to exhort. And that's what I would like to try to do this morning. I want to talk about the yoke, or you could call it the yoke of blessings. Amen. Thank God. Let's pray right now. Let's ask for the help of the Lord. Somebody pray with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Anoint your word this morning and speak to hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. God bless you. And there's definitely something here that is worthy of our attention today. And it's the subject of being under a yoke. And the truth is that all of us have someone or we have something that we must answer to in this life. It's going to be that way for your whole life. Our Christianity, our walk with God, must reflect the right attitude when it comes to our relationships in this particular area. The yoke, when you talk about the yoke, I want to try to describe it this morning. From the scripture that we read, it means a coupling. It means servitude. It is a beam or the beam of the balance. So think about it here this morning. You have a balance scale, and that's what they used in Scripture Day. They had a pan over here and a pan over here, and a chain coming up to a beam. And it would come straight up to the beam. The beam would have a bolt in the middle so it could go up or down. And that way you would be able to yoke the two together. I think when I think of a yoke this morning, I think of some of the antiques that they have in the antique stores of that big old piece of wood, big old giant piece of wood, and it may have two humps in it, and then it's got metal rods that go up and down. What that is for coupling, two horses, or coupling two oxen, or two donkeys together, so you can go out in the field and you can plow. And that's what a yoke is for. It's for coupling. It is for putting two things together so that work can be done. And all of us here this morning, we have things to do in life. And I would really like to focus our attention mostly this morning upon the work of God and the will of God and the call of God for each and every one of us, because the Lord has called us to be yoked together with Him. We are laborers together with God. Amen. And we're to be yoked together with Him. We all have labor that we must do, even if you're just in school. And it might seem like a big deal, and it is at that age, but the truth of the matter is, the real yoke is coming at some point in time, where you get yoked up on your job, the labor that you have to do, and as Paul wrote to Timothy about a servant, amen. And we cannot ignore the importance of this. He said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. But I just want to look at that first part there about the yoke. And there are some things here that are at stake when we look at this. Some very important principles. I've been talking about principles a lot lately. And Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, those of you that are under the yoke, count your masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And so when we look at this thing of yoke, we've got to look at the Lord, and we've got to look at the doctrine. Now, what did he mean there when he said that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed? Well, what he meant was in the day that he lived, and actually in the day that we live today, there are many that are super critical of anyone that would call themselves a Christian, anyone that would say, I'm a child of God, I'm walking with the Lord. There's going to be a persecution, but even more than a persecution, there's going to be an inspection that takes place of the world, of us as we commit our lives to God and we couple ourselves together with Him. And they look for hypocrisy. I remember many, many years ago working in a fabrication shop. And one of the men in the church had his own heating and air conditioning business, and he needed some metal plates for some job that he was doing. And so he called down to where I worked and told the boss what he needed. And the boss came out to me and he said, I want you to cut these pieces of metal and take them to this man. He'll pay you for it and bring the money back. I said, that will be fine. And so I went and got the material and sheared it to the size it needed to be and walked outside and put it in my car and went back to work. And one of the men on the job who knew that I was coupled with the Lord, if we could say it that way, knew that I went to church and I shared my testimony with people on the job. He came up to me and he said, "What did you just do?" And it caught me off guard at first, and I said, "What?" And he said, "Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Don't worry about it." And immediately I knew what he was thinking. He was thinking that I needed some material, and so I just went and got it, put it in my car, and I was going to steal it from the company. I said, "Oh, that, let me explain." He said, "No, you don't have to explain," but there was a look on his face like, "You're just like all the rest of them. There's nothing different about you." Amen. And I told him what was happening and got that straightened out. Amen. Because I'm telling you today, the world is watching and looking to see if we really have what we say that we have. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. There are many today that are looking for a way to explain away the truth. And what we need is to be coupled together with the Lord so that we can walk blameless before the world and show them that there is a real God, and there is a real God. Well, praise the Lord. There's a real God, and He will help you in your family. He'll help you in your personal life, and we are lights that are shining. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 and verse 30, Jesus brings it up again here. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy." Everybody said, "My yoke is easy." "And my burden is light." And so there is a yoke and there is a burden. And I want to talk about it here just a little bit, because if you are here sincerely desiring to do the will of God, you'll never get it done until you understand what it means to be yoked up with the Lord. Amen. Never. Because there are so many today that are wanting the blessings. They want the cross of Calvary, but they don't want the Christ of the cross. And or they want the Christ of the cross and they don't want the cross of the Christ. I had it backwards there. Amen. There's another moment here this morning. God bless all of you. You're doing a good job here this morning. Amen. And so he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And so what we have to do is be coupled up with him. In other words, if I could say it this way this morning, there is nothing more important in life than living for God. Right. Well, praise the Lord. There's nothing more important in life than allowing the Lord to take that yoke and put it around your neck and take all the cinches and the straps, hook it to the plow, and guide you through the field of this world, plowing ground, sowing seed, doing the will of God and the work of God. There's nothing more important than that. You know, we're living in a time where your life is the most important thing, where what I am doing and what you are doing is more important than anything else. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the really joy of life is not living for yourself, but it's living for God and living for others. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. Amen. Praise God. And when we live for God, we've got to be yoked up with Him. That means that everything else is put aside and God is number one. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That means that when it's time for church, we get around and we come to church. Well, praise God. That means that when it's time to pray, that we pray, and so on and so forth. Because if you're not yoked up with the Lord, you're going to be yoked up with something else. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 10. Turn there with me. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 10. Now, this is the Old Testament law, but it had a significance for you and I in the New Testament. And it says this, "Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together." You don't get a donkey and or a mule and an ox and put them together and plow with them. There's a reason for this. It's because the two don't have the same strength. They don't have the same attitude about their work. They don't have there's a lot of differences. One is larger than the other. One is stronger than the other. And it isn't natural. The Lord wants us to be yoked up together with Him. Amen. And when we are yoked together with Him, things go a whole lot better. Because if you've got a strong ox on one side and you've got a weaker animal on the other side, a horse or a mule, you're not going to be able to pull a straight line across the field. It's not going to work. You're going to have erratic plowing through the field. It's not going to work. It's not going to look right. It's not going to be right because there is no yoking together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Very powerful scripture. It's just not natural, and it's not desirable to have two things together that don't go together. Amen. Nobody wants that kind of a situation. No one would buy an automobile in which the front tires are pointed in different directions, or you have one tire on the right that's a 14-inch diameter and the one on the left that's an 18-inch diameter. You wouldn't want that because it's not coupled together. It does not have the proper yoke. Amen, to make it go straight down the road and for it to be a safe vehicle. Amen. And who wants to join the church and join the truth when we're not equally yoked with the Lord? You know what is the most beautiful thing is when someone comes into the house of God that doesn't know anything about worship and they're introduced to Pentecostal apostolic, genuine worship. Praise God. There's nothing like it in all of the world. Amen. The experience and the power that goes along with that. Amen. It's like a stringed instrument. I used to tune pianos a little bit, not that much, but I used to work on pianos. I've got quite a resume. Amen. I rebuilt a few pianos and learned how to do that. And I remember that pianos have some of the strings. There are three strings. There are some that are two strings, and there are some that are one string. And if you want a challenge, try to tune a piano. Nowadays, they're all electronic, so you don't have to worry about that. Most of them are. But what you do is you have to mute, or you have to put these little wedges in between the strings, and then you hit the key and you tune that one string. The tuning of a piano starts with the tuning of one string. And then once you get that one string tuned, then you take that little wedge out between them and you tune the second string to the first string. And you can tell when it's in unison with itself because if the strings are not tuned properly and you hit the key And it makes it sound, it will make a, how could I say it this morning, like a wah-wah. It'll go wah, 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 wah. And you take the tuning fork and you move it just a little bit and you tune it until that wah-wah comes out of there and it sounds like one string. It's really cool to see and to watch. And then you take those strings and you tune the next one down and so on, and that's how you tune a piano. Oh, I would to God that we could all be tuned up with the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God that there wouldn't be any wah-wahs, amen, in the house of God. But it would all be in unison, that when the Lord strikes the key, we can all worship together. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. The Lord wants to talk to us here today about the yoke of blessings. Amen. And he said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Amen. It's important what kind of friends you have. Praise the Lord. We're in this world and we want to talk to people that are in a life of unrighteousness and in darkness. The truth of the matter is we're not going to be yoked up together with them. Amen. We've got to yoke up with the Lord. And when we yoke up with Him, then there is unison, there is harmony. Amen. Think about it this morning. If you have a guitar, and I play the guitar very, very little. Used to play it a lot more, and I had a guitar that I purchased for a church we were starting in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and I was the music for the service. It was really quite elementary, to say the least, but. You know, when someone plays the guitar, when you listen to someone like Chet Atkins, I don't know if anybody's ever listened to Chet Atkins. That's back before computers. Amen. Back before there was iPhones and all of that. Before there were cell phones, actually. They would introduce him. He would not say a single word. He would just start playing his guitar. And he would play the notes, and he would play them very softly. It wasn't a brash, hard rock-type music, but it was very succinct. It was very clear. It went together. And when it was all done, people shouted and they would make a loud noise because that was so marvelous. That touched us. And there were no words that were sang. There was nothing that was said. And he would just bow his head and then he would walk off of the stage. And he became very famous for his guitar playing. And then I've heard others, amen, like the Bible says, and the others, amen. And those that could not get their guitar in tune, and you know, it's fun on the front porch of the house, but if you're going to make a career out of this, you better get your guitar tuned up and tune it right, amen. And be able to hit the right notes and the right strings. And how many times have we heard someone play the guitar and the guitar was out of tune and they're just going to town and everybody's kind of curling their nose up a little bit and got a little smile on their face like, oh, I wish they knew that they were out of tune here. Amen. And really, when we walk with God, it's like a tuned piano or a tuned guitar or some other instrument. Amen. We want the world to hear something nice.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Well, praise God. So that when times get a little bit tough, they'll come back to us and say, would you play that song over again for me? Amen. Would you talk to me again about the Lord? There's something about that that's resonating with me, and it's touching me. And that's the will of God. Nobody wants a guitar that's out of tune, but what he's looking for is somebody that's yoked up with him. You say, well, what does that mean? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Amen. Right. What we find to do, and the greatest thing that we could find to do, and I want to talk to all of us here this morning, the greatest thing that you could find to do is to live your life for God.
Amen.
Well, somebody said amen.
Amen.
Live your life for God. Amen. There is a work to be done. There is a call that is to be heeded. Amen. Are there going to be troubles? Well, I want to ask you this morning, are there troubles on your job from time to time? Are there troubles with your car from time to time? Are there difficulties in life from time to time? And the answer, of course, is yes, there are difficulties and there are setbacks in life, but we don't give up on life, do we? We work hard to get it into tune. We work hard to get it into unity and to be yoked up together. And I would say this morning, if you're working on a job, do it with all of your might. Do the very best that you can. Amen. If you're in school, do the very best that you can. Whatever it is that you find yourself in life doing, do it with your might, for the day is coming when you're not going to have the opportunity to do that. Amen. And so we must be yoked up with the things that are around us. But the most important one is the Lord. Matthew chapter 25. And if you'll turn there with me, Matthew chapter 25. And we'll go to verse 14. I want you to look at it here this morning. And I'm not going to preach a long time here today, but this is very important. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, I could spend the rest of the morning on that verse right there. But the kingdom of heaven, the way God works, in other words, is as a man traveling into a far country. That man that's traveling into a far country is Jesus Christ. He ascended into heaven. Amen. And before he ascended into heaven, he called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he divided them up. Verse 15, to one he gave five, we'll just say five, and to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. There were no seminars. There were no classes on investment. There was nothing that Scripture tells us here that goes along that line. But he just gave them these talents. To one he gave five, to one two, and to one, and said, see you later, I'll be back in a while. And Scripture tells us that after a long time, and this would be in another verse somewhere else, but he was gone for a long time, and then he was going to come back. He was going to return. And verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. Now notice here that when the Lord came back and was reckoning with these servants, he asked them, what did you do with what I gave you? What were you, in other words, what were you yoked up with in your life? What was it that you did with the things that I gave you? And the man that had received five, he made five more. Now think about it here this morning. He didn't make anything for himself. He didn't make 11 talents and give the master 10, and he kept one for himself. There is an indication here in the scripture that there was a selflessness, that there was something here that the servant said, you know what's the most important thing in my life is these five talents that the master has given to me, and I've got to do something with what he's given me. And there's a revelation in that this morning. Every one of us have been given a talent, either five or two or one and a half. You can just probably put any number in there. And it's the will of God for us to get a revelation of what is really in our hand. Amen. Amen. What is in your hand findeth to do. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Amen. Do it with the best of your ability. And the Lord will receive, even if it wasn't 10 talents, the Lord would have received it because there was production, there was increase. Amen. Right. And it's the will of God that we increase spiritually, that we increase monetarily, that we increase in our world. God has given us everything around us to build things and to do things. Amen. Whatever you find in your hand. Well, I found a place down in downtown Augusta, and it was a machine, a woodworking place. And they sold oak boards, and some of them were pretty good size oak boards. And I went down and got a whole truckload of oak from that guy and spent a lot of money. And this morning I'm preaching behind that oak that I bought downtown that somebody cut a tree down and sliced into boards and smoothed it out. Amen. Whatever your hand finds, there's a tree. What can I do with that tree? Amen. There's this, there's that. There's so many things that God has created and put in our hand. And the greatest thing that the Lord has given to us is right outside the door of the church this morning. It's called the field. Amen. And in that field, there is grain that is growing, and it's up to us to sow the seed and reap a harvest, praise God, and to go into the vineyard of the Lord and labor for Him. Praise God. I feel the Lord here this morning. Somebody needs to make a genuine commitment to God to live your life for God and do the work of God. Well, praise the Lord. He that had received two, verse 17, he also gained other two. So there was nothing in it for himself except the reward at the end, which is going to be worth it. Verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He was not even willing to take it to the bank and get interest off of it. He wasn't willing to do that, but he was afraid. And folks, we can never do the will of God with fear in our hearts controlling us. Amen. We've got to learn how to walk by faith. Amen. And take risks. Risk takers. When you have five talents that don't belong to you and you take and invest that money, you could lose that money that belongs to somebody else. I would not want to be an investor for someone else. If I invest, I'm investing for myself. Amen. Because if I lose it, I've only got the one I'm looking at the mirror or in the mirror to blame. Praise God. I'm not going to have people calling me up saying, what did you do with the money I gave you? Amen. And here we have a situation where you can read on down through this chapter and it gives the rest of the story. And verse 22, he that had received two, and that was it, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. And then verse 24, he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that that you are a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid. There's that fear again. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there, in other words, he's saying, I'm giving back to you what you gave to me. You're not going to lose anything, Lord, but you're not going to gain anything by having me here. I'm just an unprofitable servant. And the Lord said in verse 26, thou wicked and slothful, that word slothful means lazy, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have sowed not and gather where I have not strewed. You should have gotten usury, which is interest. Verse 28, take the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. And you can finish it out. Verse 30, and cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, we have got to get hooked up with the Lord. Praise God. If I have half a voice, I'm going to use it for God.
Praise God.
And if I've got half a mind, I'm going to use it for God.
Amen.
Well, somebody smile. Just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14 and verse 4. Proverbs 14 and verse 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. And so the only way that we can get an increase, you're not going to just send an ox out into the field and say, go and thresh out the corn. The ox will just go through the field and he'll smash down all the corn stalks and you're not going to have any harvest whatsoever. But if you take the ability of the ox and you put a yoke upon him and you hook him up to whatever they called that round circle, and the ox would be yoked up to the end of that rod and it would go in a circle, and all day long the ox would tread out the corn and they would throw more corn in there, and as the ox went in circles, he would stomp upon that corn, those corn ears of corn that were dried, and break them up, and then they would separate the chaff from the corn. And the Bible says here, by the strength of the ox. Amen. And of course, we know what the ox represents in Scripture. It represents the ministry. And that's why you need to be called if you're going to go into the ministry, because there will be days that you just go in circles.
True.
Just treading out the corn. That's what I feel like I'm doing here this morning, is just treading out the corn. Amen. And the Bible says that you should not muzzle the ox. If he wants to stop and eat some of the corn, let him have as much as he wants, because you're not going to get very far with a weak ox.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Got to have a strong ox. And where there's no work going on, there's not going to be a harvest. Praise God.
Right.
We have great ability here this morning. We have great ability here this morning to have a tremendous revival. Amen. And what we just need to do is be yoked up with the Lord and be thankful for what we have to do in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And let's look at some of the yokes that are in Scripture before I finish here this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And then we'll go to Ephesians 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. Who set them in the church? God set them in the church. First, apostles. That would be the 12 apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. Helps. Everybody said helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. All right, so God hath set in the church. And there is first, second, third, and then you could say fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Amen. There are some that want to be first. Amen. We passed by a church in Wichita, and it doesn't matter where it's at or who's the pastor, but it said Apostle so-and-so. And I kind of smiled a little bit, and I thought, who gave him the title of apostle? Amen. Where's that going to come out in heaven? But there are apostles, 12 apostles, and they were just common, ordinary fishermen, and the Lord gave them 5 talents and said, go and do something with what I've given you. And then prophets, and teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps. That's one that's been lost a lot. Amen. Helps. Somebody said helps.
Helps.
What if the Lord placed a call upon your life, and he does that with people, you're going to be a help for me in my kingdom. Oh, wait a minute. I want to be a teacher. I want to have the gift of healing. I want to be a teacher. I'd like to be a prophet, and I think I'm going to sign up and go to prophet school and learn how to be a prophet. I want to be a pastor, so I'm going to just learn how and work my way so that I can become a pastor. I'll tell you what, this morning, there are many that the Lord is trying to call to be a help. Amen. Just to be a witness. Just to be a help around the church. Amen. To clean the floors and to mow the grass. And you can be a prophet and mow the grass. You can be a pastor and mow the grass. Amen. In fact, the pastor has done everything that goes on in the church more than once. Praise God. Which is perfectly fine. But to be a help, amen. To be a giver. I know that there are some in our church here this morning. God has placed a call on your life to be a giver. Amen. To bless the work of God with your finances and of your time. Amen. I would say that would fall under the category of helps. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave, everybody said he gave. There's God again. He's the one that does this. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, or the full equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, or that they could do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. It's not the pastor that does all the edifying. It's not the pastor that does all of the work of the ministry. Praise God. Until we come into the unity of the faith. But the edifying of the body is everybody's responsibility. What we have in our hand, whatever is in your hand, that you find in your hand, do it with your might. Well, if you'll just look to your right and your left this morning, there's something that God put in your hand, a brother or a sister. Amen. If you look around, God has placed in our hand a building. It used to be an old, rundown, almost condemned building, but it doesn't look that way this morning because there are some people that found some boards and found some nails and some carpet and did something with what God gave them. Folks, we have one another here this morning. You have your husband, you have your wife, you have your brother and sister in the Lord. And if it's just a matter of praying for them, I'm telling you what, we need more prayer in the church. We need more edifying in the church. Amen. To build up the work of God. And I want to say this before I finish this morning, that the most important thing that you can bless is the work of God, and then second is your family. Praise God.
Amen.
And one does not have to suffer because of the other. They go together. We're yoked together with God, and God will help us. Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. What you're feeling this morning and what you're hearing this morning is an opportunity to be yoked up with something greater than yourself.
Amen.
Well, praise God. It's not just our four and no more.
That's right.
It's not just what's going on in our life, but what's going on in God's life? What's going on in God's church? What's going on in the kingdom of God? And in my life, praise God, just put that yoke upon my shoulders. Wished I could have got one of those and brought it with me here this morning. Amen. Those things look really heavy and all of that. But when the Lord puts a yoke upon you, the Bible says it is light and it's easy. How can that be? Well, it's called grace, and grace takes the load off of your shoulders and helps you to do more than you could do by yourself. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. And the only way you can turn 5 talents into 10 and 2 into 4 and 1 into 2 is by being faithful with it. Faithful. Somebody said faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful. Faithful to church.
Yes.
Praise God. Thankful for everybody that was here Wednesday night.
Amen.
Thankful for Hunter. Praise the Lord. Led us in singing and music. Amen. Just a handful here Wednesday night, but I'm thankful for everyone that was here Wednesday night. Amen. That's what life is all about right there. There's highs and there's lows. And then there's all that in between. Praise God. And what the Lord is looking for is someone that will be faithful, faithful to the house of God. We need you on Wednesday night. Say, well, I got an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. Or I got a reason. No, it's just an excuse. Amen. Somebody wrote a song.
Yes.
Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. Oh, the devil will supply them if from church you stay away. And it goes on and talks about excuses. Folks, let's don't make excuses. If you've got a valid reason to not be in the house of God, we completely understand. But it's not just church services that we're involved in here. It's souls. It's eternity. It's reaching others. It's helping others. It's blessing others. And while we're doing that, we're worshiping God, receiving the Holy Ghost over and over again, and loving God, loving one another. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That's the will of God. Faithful to prayer. Amen. faithful to prayer, faithful in your giving, faithful in the job that the Lord has called you to do. Amen. In other words, He wants to be the one that's yoked up with us. And when we're plowing across the field, amen, He empowers us. And all we got to do is look over and say, how's it going, Lord? He'll look back over and say, it's going just fine. Just keep on pushing. Amen. Just keep on going, because there's going to be a harvest one day. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. I thank You, Lord. In my weakness, You are strong. Oh, God. When I fall short, Lord, You excel. Help us to be yoked together with You. Help us, Lord, to do the work of God with joy. With joy in our hearts. With an expectation of Your return. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name this morning. Praise God. Lift your voice with me this morning. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for the yoke. Thank You for the harness. Thank You for the reins. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm not living my life for myself. I'm living my life for You. I'm not working to gain things for me, but I'm working to gain for Your kingdom. Oh, Lord, You died for me. I want to die for You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let's sing a chorus this morning. Just reach out to the Lord with all of your heart this morning. And if you're sincere about living for God, just tell the Lord, Lord, put me in my place here. Help me to be yoked up with You. Whatever You have for me in my life, just tell Him that while we're singing and worshiping God, and commit your life to God. Amen. He'll hear your prayer. He'll open doors for you, and you'll see a harvest.